And then there was Ula, whom she definitely intended to look up when she got back.
"I guess," she said, "it depends on what you mean by right."
He grimaced. "That doesn't really help."
"Well, let me tell you what I was going to say, and maybe that will help. It's this. Thank you."
"For what?"
"Just thanks."
"Why?"
She rolled her eyes.
"You're going to make me explain it, aren't you?"
"If it's not too much trouble."
He managed a twitch of his lips that might have been a smile.
"It's pretty simple, really. You came across me when things were the darkest they had ever been. I had no security, no family, no purpose, no life, really. You offered me all of those things. Relatively speaking, of course. I'd never come up against anything like the hexes before, and I'd always prided myself on keeping most of my limbs intact. But the essentials were there. We had the mission, we had roles to play, and I had you."
She raised a hand to stop him talking over her.
"I know I didn't have you in any possessive sense, but you represented more to me than just some guy I'd bumped into. You're Kifar, like me. And there aren't many of us out there now. So that made you family. And you had my back when things got tough. So that made you like my squad, I guess. You were everything I'd been missing, without ever being able to say so."
"I'm flattered," he said.
"Don't be," she said. "It wasn't really anything to do with you. Any other handsome, well-armed Kifar would have fit the bill."
She smiled, to take the sting off her words, and he smiled in return.
"I'm glad," he said. "That makes me feel like I did do the right thing."
"Well, think that now, but the day I'm in the Empire's sights and out of ammo, know that you'll be the first I blame. At least I'll have a proper squad with me then. So that's one box ticked."
She was surprised by a sudden upwelling of emotion. She really was grateful, but she didn't know how to convey it, except with a joke.
"Were you seriously thinking I wish I'd never come? Don't you remember how I used to smell?"
"It still gives me nightmares."
"Besides, I reckon you have a lot more to worry about now."
He sobered.
"What do you mean?"
"Well, the fact that you're wondering about what you did tells me you've entered a whole new world of uncertainty. Doing the right thing isn't so easy in the real world, is it?"
He studied the grass at their feet.
"No."
"So you learned that lesson, which means you'll probably become a proper Jedi Knight now. But in the process, you come to the shocking realization that nothing will ever be black and white again. It's all gray."
"Not all of it," he said.
"There's still some black."
"But white is hard to find, right?"
She put her prosthetic hand on his shoulder.
"You're a warrior now. Eventually, you'll only see in two colors, black and red. Best get used to that if you're going to stay on the front line."
"Do I have a choice?"
"Sure you do. With the life you've had, you've always had a choice."
"Do you still think I've had it easy?"
"No, my friend. No."
The flash of anger in his deep green eyes had come too quickly. She worried about that. But she knew she'd said enough. It wasn't her job to bang his head into shape.
"Everyone knows Clan Kanshi got a raw deal when it came to looks."
That put the anger back in its place, where it could simmer until it